Welcome back to week 7 of Loud and Obnoxious with your hosts, Kip, Phil, and P-Dub. How are we tonight, gentlemen?
Doing great, Skip.
No longer on suicide watch.
There we go. Well, I'm glad to hear it. I want to welcome back our listeners. Thank you all for, again, tuning in. I want to give a shout-out reminder to everybody that's listening to this. Please go subscribe on iTunes or Podcast One. Rate and review us. I recommend 5 stars. A lot of the people I've slept with have recommended 1 star. So all I ask is for you to go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review for those that are listening this week. But as I prefaced earlier, welcome back to week 7 of Loud and Obnoxious. We're going to kind of talk a little bit about last week's college football, a little bit about last week's NFL, and then we're going to kind of touch on all those in the coming weeks. But I think that the biggest topic at hand, seeing as how this week has unfolded, is college basketball. So you'll hear that, and then we'll have our regular takes of quick hits, including some NBA talk and baseball. So, gentlemen, let's get to it. All right.
Let's go.
I got real nervous there for a second. I thought I was going to have Trump and protest talk, but
shut your fucking mouth. We're not going to talk about any of that nonsense. This is a sports podcast. You won't have to hear anything about that for any of the listeners. Don't worry about tuning out or burning your iPhones or whatever your headphones are. You're not going to have to worry about that. Let's start with our regular segment that we've had since we started with quick hits. This week, we're going to touch on a little bit of baseball, a little bit of golf, and a little bit of basketball. So let's start with golf because I think it's going to be a little bit of the quicker segment. Pierce's boy wins $10 million fucking dollars.
Ooh, JT, dude got paid, didn't he?
Dude.
Man.
Paid.
$10 million bucks. Can you imagine walking off a golf course with $10 million in your pocket? It's probably got to be a pretty good feeling.
Phil, I'm going to kind of speak for you here. Phil said this last week about how there's issues with you don't really know the outcome as you go through the weekend, especially on Sundays. The viewers, don't have any kind of recollection, especially those on the course, as to how this is all going to play out. So it was it's climactic, but very anticlimactic all the same on Sundays. And so it fell right into what Phil said last week. And so Justin Thomas won with Xander Schauffele or whatever his name is, rookie, winning the tour championship. But
yeah, who the fuck is that?
Well, shout out to him. He's won once or
some foreigner.
No, he's an American. He's won twice on tour this year, including the tour championship, which was a nice little payday. So he had a great.
He won it though. Okay, where'd he go, dude?
And he should probably be rookie of the year. I mean, if Berger won it last year by just winning Memphis, then I think Xander or whatever the hell. That I may be butchering his first name. But yeah, so shout out to Pierce for the. He's been back in JT since well before.
Love JT.
Yep.
I feel like I just won the FedEx Cup, Skip.
And then shout out to Phil. I mean, Phil nailed it. They got to change the rules. Johnny Miller even said it this week that it doesn't work. The FedEx doesn't work. Johnny Miller literally replicated exactly what Phil said last week.
I just don't get why they're trying to make it such a big thing. It doesn't need to be this big thing. You have your majors. You have your tour championship. Like, why does it need to be something bigger? Why does it need to be like fucking NASCAR? What's the point?
Golf. Do a NCAA men's basketball tournament style.
Oh, like a match play type
top
thing.
Top 65 match play. I mean, I know that doesn't really reflect, you know, on how they played, you know, through the tournaments throughout the season, but damn, that would be.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I agree, Phil. I like that as well. I mean, I watch the match play when they do it. It's the WGC event. They do it early spring, you know, somewhere around Arizona, Mexico, wherever the hell they do it. But it's very entertaining, and it makes people like Poulter, but obviously you still have to be in the top 120, 170, whatever.
Fuck that Euro piece of trash, huh, Skip?
Yeah, well, I agree. But, I mean, he's won it, and he shines in match play. I appreciate the shout-out. But I agree. And so, Phil, that may be what they should strive for. But at the same time, they've got to make it more aware for the fans.
That'd be cool, though, man. $10 million, you win this fucking bracket, and even the lowest guy on the totem pole can win this bracket. That'd make for some quality entertainment right there. Why is Phil not in charge of the PGA? He's running the shit over there.
Some out-of-touch old dude.
Some out-of-touch fucking Generation Xer.
Hey, literally,
You let millennials take over.
Yeah, let Phil hold the reins. I mean, I will say that the Zurich down in Phil's backyard, over on the East Coast or whatever the hell it is over there.
West Bank.
Woof. Yeah, it's the worst. What's it called? Anyways, that course over there, they figured a way to make it interesting for that Zurich because everybody was dropping out of that. They managed to do some sort of like entertaining, what was it, a two ball or a four, excuse me, a four ball, but it was a team event. Yeah, that was really neat. And they let you pair up with whomever you want. So Brooks Koepka was able to play with his brother. And
Brooks,
you
know,
yeah.
Bauer,
JT was able to play with Collie. Yeah, but, you know, like, so the Bama boys were together. So I agree, Phil. I think there's something in the water because you're thinking straight down there. The golf game seems to be flowing out of nowhere.
Well, yeah, we got a new course, City Park. That I think the rumor is that the Zurich's going to be moved there in a few years, but we'll see. It's a really nice course. Shout out to City Park.
Ooh,
yeah, shout out. There you go, that Audubon area, uptown. Oh, City Park. Yeah. Excuse me, I apologize. I was thinking over next to the old house. Anyways, so we'll move from golf onto the next semi-relevant conversation prior to the last 24 hours of college basketball. Let's talk about the moves that were made in the last 5 days since we spoke last about the NBA. We got some big names on the move, playing on some big teams. Pierce,
oh,
lead us
man,
off.
Man, I don't think there's enough basketballs in the world, much less one team, for Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony. I think it's going to be very interesting. And I don't even think they needed Carmelo. Like, what's the point of bringing him in? I just don't really see it.
I've always been a
working out.
I've always been a huge Carmelo hater. I mean, you know, there were some years in New York where he definitely had the talent around him to not be like a playoff seed, but not like the worst fucking team in the league.
Yeah, he's in the East. Like, come on, man. It's a layup. Just fucking go over 500. You make
so
the playoffs.
He's always been a team killer, in my opinion. But, you know, a lot of the analysts are referring to his play with Team USA and how he just dominated when he had these superstars around him. Well, it's not, you know, it's not a full team of superstars around him, but Russell Westbrook and Paul George.
Pretty solid. It's pretty solid. Cool.
I don't think anything can beat the Warriors, but
all right,
that's going to be some fun NBA. Let's just pray for no injuries.
Let me give you my take on what's going to happen, and then we'll discuss how the West is really going to fall out. I know BVD, the gentleman that we split this website with, he and his constituents are big Oklahoma City fans, so we'll try to tread lightly. My theory is Paul George has got to be pissed. I mean, he was not necessarily like – he was, you know, first look, final shot guy, but he never proved to be the guy that could make that shot. But at the same time, when you bring in Carmelo, it's kind of like what Pierce said. You can literally – there's not enough ball for all three of these clowns, and Carmelo has never shown any inclination that he would ever share the ball with anyone. And so when you come on to the MVP's team – then, I mean, that seems like there's not a lot to go around, and you're going to hear a lot of – one of those guys is going to be barking like Adrian Peterson was after week one, that I didn't sign up for this shit.
Well, for him to have accepted that trade, he had to know. I mean, they had to have sat him down and be like, dude, Westbrook's the man. You're going to play, you know, second fiddle, you know, 2A and 2B with Paul George, and that's going to be the formula for success.
I don't even think he's that. I think it's A, B, C.
I think, yeah, he's 2B, maybe 2C, or just the third look. Like, because not only has he not been that guy, but I will agree with you. Like, he's never had a team that was quality, but at the same time, he's always been that asshole that will trade himself. Like, he traded when he left Denver, he milked the shit out of the Knicks. And so when he got to the Knicks, there was nothing there. So now there's something there. So he's got to learn that he is not first look. And so I don't think that this is obviously not going to bode well, but I think they're still the third best team in the West. I told BVD the same thing. I think a team play from San Antonio or a two guard sharing look in Houston may still be able to beat Oklahoma City.
Oh man. And like the thing is with OKC, like, I don't know. I just don't like the Melo addition. I think he should have gone elsewhere. I think he should have gone to Cleveland before they got D-Wade. But
I think Russell Westbrook is going to easily average a triple-double again. He's going to put up some incredible assist numbers, and of course he'll still get his points. And, you know, the man can rebound the ball. His assist numbers are going to be absurd.
And I agree. Like, he's going to we're not taking anything away from Westbrook when we discuss about what this team will amount to.
Oh, no, not at all.
We're discussing as to, like, what does Melo really bring to the table? Like, I understand that they didn't really give away anything. They got to keep Steven Adams, that Aussie or New Zealand fuck that Westbrook seems to be real fond of and just, you know, is gritty on the glass. But at the same time, like, I just don't see them like making that big of a jump by adding Melo. I mean, I get it. Yeah, he was a great Olympian, but you're a great Olympian because you can go 12 deep with first, you know, ballot guys against fucking Manu Ginobili and a bunch of scrubs out of Argentina or the Gasol brothers. Like, don't fucking sit here and tout the Olympic, yeah, I guess, pedigree. I just don't.
Well, I totally agree there. Because, like, he's a team player now. He's in a real good mood now. But you get halfway through the season, if he's not getting his, he's going to be a fucking drama queen distraction. It's just how it's going to happen.
Well, if you just talk about, like, they don't, you know, need clear that talent and, you know, NBA worth, if you put up, you know, big threes, Carmelo compared to Klay Thompson, Klay Thompson can catch fire and score, what, like, he scored, like, 30-something points in a quarter. Melo can't.
Yeah, but he plays defense. He also plays defense. That's a
I'm
key
saying,
ingredient.
Melo can't do that. I think Melo can't do that. You know, he can get play. You know, score 40 points in a game here and there, but like he's not gonna, you know, shake people off here and there and just put up 40 and a quarter like Klay Thompson.
I apologize. I jumped on you. I thought you were pro Carmelo over Klay there, and I was going to just eat your lunch.
Worst take of all time. Give me Carmelo Anthony over Klay Thompson.
I was about to eat your lunch. I was like, man, this is easy for me tonight.
They'll just throw softballs over the plate.
They're big three. The third of three is way behind.
Absolutely.
Know?
Yeah, it is
absolutely
weak. And we're not sure how long Paul George will be there, but that'll be a discussion for a later
week.
Did
y'all see?
Wait, Pierce, you kind of watch Melo get – watch Melo get stuck in OKC all by himself after this next year.
I think Russ is there for me.
Russ is only there for another year.
Okay, that's right. He chose not to take that contract.
Him and Paul both. Okay. But
did
y'all see the Melo press conference where that reporter asked him how he felt about possibly coming off the bench? And it was one of those great moments in press conference history where he's like, you know, he starts laughing and he like looks to the side. He's like, hey, you hear that? They asked me about coming off the bench, and then starts laughing in the guy's face. Like, I'm telling you, like, that playful attitude's there now and he thinks that's funny. But when it actually starts happening, if it happens, he's not going to be a happy camper.
I mean, I agree with you, but let's segue for a second. You touched on D Wade as well prior to. Let's talk about that. I mean, you spoke of big threes. Is the East any different when Cleveland adds six guys that all have like 11 knees combined?
They're worse, if anything.
I mean, literally, half these guys have like half a knee apiece.
D Wade hasn't had it for like 5 or 6 years.
I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, you add him after you add Rose. LeBron's got to be thinking, if these guys play more than 20 minutes a game for 20 games a season, they're not even useful in the postseason. I don't see the added value at all besides inviting your best friend to be on your team just because you can.
I guess LeBron knows he's fucked and he's like, let me just get my boy over here for this last season, and you know, we'll still go to the finals, but get our asses kicked.
Well, I mean, that chubby bastard that went to high school with LeBron is obviously sucking Cleveland's dick, but it seems like all of ESPN thinks that this team is, like, real strong. I mean, you have Shannon Frye, Rose, D-Wade. I mean, you have a lot of old – Richard Jefferson, who's, like, 62 years old. I mean, you have a lot of old guys with a lot of, like, repair – I mean, yeah, those guys have been, like,
Miles
hard and hung up wet. I mean, they're fucking sitting off for a lot of these games. That's got to be a pretty bad addition, even though it's only just $2 million inviting your best friend to play with you.
But they just got to win the East. I mean, those guys can sit down for most of the season. As long as they're healthy for the playoffs, Cleveland will be fine. They're going to be in the finals again. Boston's not going to beat them.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
Wait, hold on, stop.
Team LeBron James is on is going to be in the finals.
Yeah, duh. Okay, I thought you were saying that wasn't going to happen.
I was saying that.
Yeah, I thought somebody was. What the fuck, man? Do you really think Boston is going to beat Cleveland?
I mean, shit, Detroit beat them three times, or beat them. I mean, and the one of the times he made a run, he scored 27 points.
Yeah, that's all he had, too. Like,
he doesn't have some stout roster. Bullshit. He's starting Tristan Thompson. This guy doesn't score. He doesn't have some elite caliber player. I mean, Kyrie and he literally were the two players that made them win that finals.
Kevin Love was hurt,
and the rest of the guys were just role players. So if you remove Kyrie and put him on a team with a guy that made Utah relevant and Horford, who made Atlanta relevant at least, I mean, and made Boston equally, you know, successful, given IT was great and he's now in Cleveland, but you can't discredit the fact that Kyrie was half the reason they won that championship.
Okay, but they still have Kevin Love. He can be okay. Like, he can figure it out.
No, he doesn't win.
Kevin Love will have an all-star season. I mean, he does anyway.
He'll thrive. He'll thrive now. And Isaiah Thomas isn't – I mean, he might have a bad hip, but that guy's not going to be trash either. Like,
he doesn't play defense. He doesn't play defense at all.
None of the Cavs play defense. Kyrie didn't really play much defense.
I think LeBron's first team all defense. He's like Cody.
Yeah, he's the only fucking one.
They're saying Isaiah's not going to play till June, though, probably.
Maybe. June?
I think that's what they said today, yeah.
That's pretty much all year.
So basically, he's not playing.
Wait, what? Maybe it was finals.
January, but it's for a while. It's at least half the season, but I'm pretty sure they said June.
That would definitely be the finals.
Y'all, this is the most time we spent in non-basketball season.
Yeah, talk about quick hits. All right, so
the last quick hits that we have, we did golf and basketball. So let's talk a little bit about baseball. Since we last spoke, I know we tooted some horns last week, but since then the Yankees, Phil's Yankees, have made a wild card berth.
The Cubs just clinched a minute ago. I watched it before we came on there.
Yeah, the shitty Astros knocked out the Rangers. And then, yeah, the Cubs won at St. Louis. Just with Lackey on the mound. Yeah. It's a lost bet for Kip. Yeah, so congrats to them. But the Rockies won today, and we're in the wild card hunt.
Skip, let me interject real quick. It was the other J month. January is when he's going to return.
January.
That's halfway through the season. No worries.
Yeah, that's fine because again, they're in the East. It doesn't fucking matter. They can be the two seed.
Hey, we're all on to baseball.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Just had to correct myself.
That's fine. We're on to baseball. We're on to Cincinnati.
He thinks LeBron James isn't going to the finals.
All right, so that's fine.
Such a bad take. That's cool.
Let's address this again.
Baseball. Dingers, man. Let's talk about it.
All right, so most of the teams are locked in. Yankees celebrated a wild card berth, knowing they still have the hunt for the division available.
They clinched the home wild card game, too.
Yeah, they're going to fucking destroy the Twins.
Why don't you act like you're a goddamn professional and try to win the division?
We're gonna.
Oh, yeah? Okay, well, then why are we celebrating a home wild card berth? It's a one
because
game.
Baseball players celebrate everything.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, you do play 162 fucking games. I mean, to get to play more, not that they probably really want to play more, but, you know, it's a big deal.
Woo!
I agree.
And okay. That's fair. You won. I'll shut up. That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. And so, in second notion, let's talk a little bit. I'm in the backyard. The Rockies won this afternoon, so they're playing the Marlins, and then we have the Dodgers this weekend, which is never a good thing to have. But they're up a game and a half on the Brewers and two games on the Cardinals. Let's just go ahead and do a short hot take. Who wins that last wild card berth in the NL? Go.
Well, both of those teams lost tonight. So I'm going to go with the Rockies. I said that a while back, though. Rockies, Diamondbacks, home team wins, Diamondbacks win.
Rockies.
Thank you, Phil. All right. I have your enthusiasm on this, despite the fact that you are the anchor. I agree. I hope.
Oh, yeah. Might as well bet against that right now. No, Phil's bringing him down, baby. He's a fan. Phil's a fan.
They have the Dodgers this weekend, so it's a worrisome series, but it is nice to go up two games with four to play. So let's all keep our fingers crossed and not jinx it. So let's go on to the next segment.
The Rockies have always been my secondary team because I got.
God damn it, Phil! We don't need your anchor in this situation.
I was there on the fucking first day of the Rockies, you bitch.
All right, well, let's talk about the last thing you jumped on board with, and that was my Mississippi State Bulldogs. Let's go ahead and get this over the fucking...
Yeah, that was That was pure sabotage on my part, by the way.
Yeah, you're a real McAsshole. But let's just get this out of the way. Mississippi State didn't show up. There was a dagger in the heart on the second play of our first play of Georgia's offensive drive where they did the pitch back touchdown pass. Dude, it was awful. It was so bad. I was in a house with like 20 Mississippi State folks, and that's here in Colorado, so take that for what it's worth. That's a lot of dogs. The place went silent, and it was just awkward. Oh, my God. After being so hyped last week, we just got crushed on the road. Nick Fitz, that fucking Heisman sleeper, is gone. That anybody that was excited about this road trip, gone. I mean,
Man, look, that's really
Thanks,
hard.
Phil.
It's really hard to get up 2 weeks in a row for games like that. Now they got to try to do it again and go to Auburn, right? It's gonna get a little tricky for the
Bulldogs. Yeah, you also gotta realize that that win.
Go ahead, Phil.
Win against LSU looks a little worse too because we struggled mightily with Syracuse.
All right, so that's what I was gonna preface with. You know what? LSU may be a lot worse than we thought, which means
maybe.
The Dogs aren't as good. Yeah, okay, it's very well known
they
at this
are.
Point. They're not very good. But at the same time, that 30-point win doesn't look good when they only beat Syracuse by 9 and score 7 of those late in the game. So I do agree with you on that, Phil. Pierce, I do appreciate you being kind because usually you're a huge –
Look, man, I don't hate y'all as much as y'all hate us. Like, as long as you're not playing us, I really don't care either way. It's cool with me.
So you don't mind if I'm number one and you're number three, or if we're like climbing? Like, if we'd beaten Georgia, you wouldn't be any bit griped. But with us losing, me eating crow, you're okay with it?
No, I wouldn't have been upset if y'all won because, look, man, it's decent for the state. Like, we made our bed. We're sleeping in it right now. It's cool. We had our fun. Go have yours, you know? Go have it.
Yeah, we've had it. We've been there. We've done the back-to-back.
Go have it. Yeah, but that number one team got destroyed against Ole Miss, and then
Bama really broke that back, but it's okay. But, yes, I agree. So it was a bad weekend for the Dogs.
It was.
I knew that today was going to suck. It sucked Monday when we had to talk to the bookies and things of that nature. But let's go ahead and kind of crawl through the other games. My final four team, Oklahoma State, had to eat some crow as well. I don't know if any of us called TCU, but goodness gracious, that stung. They got their ass kicked.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see Oklahoma State shut down like that. It was kind of they looked invincible the first 3 weeks.
I wasn't very surprised. I think I actually made a comment on Gary Patterson's D history.
Yeah,
last week.
Oh yeah, he did. Okay,
that's
very
right.
Solid.
You did say that. You did. I'll give you that.
Very
the silent guy is oftentimes deadly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I was a little bit – it wasn't the best weekend. I snuck out a back door with I took Duke on the – getting points against North Carolina, and I understand they kind of didn't deserve that, but they had a late pick six that sealed the win. And I'm not exactly sure how ACC football works outside of Clemson and Florida State, so I won't attest to that. But, yeah, shitty weekend for Kip in the books. And one of those things.
Hey, man. This week can only be better, man. It can only go up.
Let's hold our tongue on that as well.
Positivity, baby. Positivity.
Yeah. But there is a game I didn't bet on, but I want to talk about. So I was watching the state game, and I drank a little too much, but I did happen to catch the recap of Florida-Kentucky.
Woo-hoo, that was a little bit of a meltdown there, Skip.
So is McIlwain the exact antithesis of Butch Jones, where, like, I know he beat him by the exact same skin of his teeth, but it seems that Butch Jones never catches that break, and yet McIlwain is sitting here in his third year. He's got, like, 15 guys going to jail and is still just, like, sneaking out wins. Are they the opposite? How does McIlwain keep doing this? What do you think?
It sounds like he's the new Les Miles. I mean, that's exactly how Les Miles won games for years. And we had a lot of arrests along the way, too.
He, like, McIlwain, I forget what his record is in games decided by 7 points or less, but he's like 9-1 or something crazy like that. He's fucking incredible in close games. They just somehow, they still look awful. Like, as a team, if you look at Florida, you're like, oh my God, this team sucks. But they keep winning games. They're just kind of hanging around. And, I mean, if they beat Georgia, they're in the driver's seat.
Hey, so let me, I want to kind of,
because they're going to beat LSU. Don't they play LSU this week?
They got
them
for homecoming at some point. I don't think it's this week. Florida's got Vandy this week at home. But Florida does have LSU later this season for homecoming. I want to kind of reinforce what Phil said. That's a great point. I've never heard that comparison until now. So everybody else can fucking listen up. Yeah, that Les comparison is pretty strong because Les seemed to pull the horseshoe out of his ass a lot. And it seems that McIlwain gets to do exactly that. Like, he wins the East with an 8-4. You know, like, he does random ass shit that he probably doesn't deserve to win things for. But you can't fire him despite if he fucks, you know, fish or anything else. You can't really get mad at him as long as he doesn't, you know, start using like a burner cell phone. You can't fire him. So it seems like he's doing something right. And I think that it's kind of interesting to see that he keeps sneaking out wins like this. Like the Kentucky win, he should not have won. Kentucky game, he should not have won.
There was two touchdowns where the Kentucky's guy was, on the opposite. There was two sides where the Florida dude was uncovered. Touchdown.
Yeah, on that last play, that last Florida touchdown, they ran a guy off the field because they thought they had 12. They only had 11 on the field. Dude was wild.
There was another play earlier in the game where they scored from like 70 out because the guy was unguarded.
It was absolutely. Florida has beat them 31 times in a row, y'all. 31 times in a row. Is that not just a staggering number?
And that's with Tim Couch, who was.
And Lorenzen, you're telling me Jared Lorenzen ever beat Florida?
I mean, I'd say Couch had the caliber.
100% sarcasm. Okay,
sorry.
The hefty lefty, I'm not giving him any credit.
Yeah, I love Lorenzen beat State. So I'm not knocking the fact that Lorenzen could play college ball, but I was just saying Couch in reference to exceptional football players that should have at least won.
Speaking of Lorenzen, he's up to like 450 pounds or something. And I think they're about to do a documentary. He may even be pushing.
He's monstrous. He was playing for some like bottom rung arena league last year in Kentucky or Ohio or somewhere like that. Just still massive as can be, hucking touchdown passes. You know, I saw that guy at Oxford one time.
That's got to be amateur. That's got to be amateur football. But
100%. No, he's getting paid something. Very, very low.
He shattered, but he got injured like terribly. So now he has all this rehab, and he's even fatter. So they're doing some documentary on how he's gonna lose a bunch of weight.
Shit, he's gonna get addicted to Oxycontin, probably.
Hey, it can't be the 30 for 30 for John Daly, who was equally redneck and equally large, was pretty strong. So I can't wait to see the one.
That'll be great. Must see TV. Yep.
I know, right? It's quality stuff. But let's kind of migrate our way through college football. Were there any games that kind of piqued your interest or you saw someone that was better than – I mean, Georgia was good. I hate to sit here and just harp on the State game because I'm a State fan. But, I didn't have any faith in Georgia after just sneaking out a W against Notre Dame.
Well, what?
But goodness gracious, they look like they can easily beat Florida.
Yeah, they can easily beat Florida.
Like Georgia can win the East, and they look stout. I mean, Fromm is better than
Jacob Eason's done. He might as well transfer to Florida. They need a QB.
Yeah, I think y'all may need one next year. So that's
why are we gonna need one next year?
I kid. Anywhere else he wants to, I think is how the NCAA rules that.
Oh, yeah, if we get another
I kid.
Well, I want to talk about Penn State a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about that game.
They're my playoff pick, and And look, that was their chance to lose right there. They have to go to Ohio State, and I think they get Michigan at home. So, like, these guys could easily run the table, lose one game, no big deal. Saquon Barkley is fucking incredible. Did y'all see that guy? Y'all seen that guy play?
I didn't get to watch that.
Oh my god, I saw some of that.
Yeah, I saw
358 total yards. The guy's running back kicks. He's catching passes. 211 yards on the ground. Like, he's a fucking beast, man. And I hate Penn State, but I'm just preaching them because they're my playoff pick. And I feel really good about Alabama, Clemson, and Penn State.
You didn't have Clemson, motherfucker.
No, I'm not trying to say I did. I'm just saying right now, this moment in time, those three, you can pretty much lock them in. The fourth spot, that's anybody's guess. It's going to be a clusterfuck.
So we'll talk about that number four spot. And, Phil, I'd rather get your input because I know mine already. I mean, if Penn State squeaks one out against Iowa on the road, can they win in the horseshoe? I mean,
Hell yeah, for sure.
Shut up, Pierce. Phil, can Pierce's boys win on the road when it's against a real team and not Iowa?
Yeah, no, they can. They can, but when Pierce started off that saying, oh, you know, that was their chance to lose. All they have is at Ohio State. I was like, What the fuck are you talking about?
JT Barrett?
Shut up, Pierce.
At Ohio State, I mean, that's going to be, if they're undefeated at the time, which they should be, that's going to be a fucking incredible game.
They will be.
But Urban Meyer, the loser, although the fucking loser bitch he is, well, you know, he knows how to win some big games, and I think he's probably got the edge over James Franklin.
Can I say one thing? Can I just say one thing? It's really quick.
When I bury you.
That's what I, at the beginning of the year, I said, hey, that I had him picked to lose to Ohio State at Ohio State, but that's before I saw JT Barrett, man, and that guy can't score points on fucking Akron Zips.
Yeah, but the Ohio State defense will shut down Barkley.
That is
okay. Then McSorley will beat him. That McSorley kid's good.
All right, well, so
he's got all.
This is my thing here, and I think we kind of prefaced this on week one is the fact.
I can't believe I'm defending Penn State.
Yeah, you are. But at the same time, we're all sitting here defending different Big Ten teams. So
yeah, this segment sucks.
Hopefully, we can expand our base. But look what we're talking about. I do agree. You said you had Michigan at home and Ohio State on the road, and you said that was your one opportunity for loss. So I agree with Phil on that. That is definitely not it. Not only can Harbaugh's teams easily go into somewhere and lose, but they can easily go in there and win as well. So I think all of y'all split over in groups of one. So I think Ohio State loses a game that they shouldn't, but they do, whether it's Wisconsin, Penn State, or Michigan, whatever game it is, they will. And I feel that the other two do the same also. So you also can't forget about Wisconsin, but at the same time, yeah, Saquon Barkley looks great. And he's the top of the rushing leaderboards, as well as the way too early preseason hype Heisman candidate.
He should win it. They should give him the trophy now, Skip.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that. But you realize you have 4 days. And hey, if someone doesn't get fired in 4 days, then your last hot take goes sour. So it's
I didn't expect this team to get it together and start scoring points. This goddamn freshman. I want Kevin Sumlin fired so bad.
So let's talk about that game next, but let's just remind everyone that's listening, Pierce's takes are like the milk in the fridge. They do expire after a certain couple of weeks, and they become real sour. So let's go ahead and talk about the Texas A&M Arkansas, because I don't know if that was last week or 2 weeks ago.
It was this week.
It was last week.
Literally, that was like a game that two coaches were vying for their jobs, and Kevin Sumlin goes for it on fourth down. Gets a shitty call at one point throughout the game, but goes for it on fourth down in the fourth, gets it, scores, goes to overtime and wins. Does Bielema outlast Sumlin? I'm going to go to Phil first.
Yes, yeah, he outlasts him. He's still got a year or two left. I mean, because he wins big games. You know, he beats some big teams every year.
They beat Ole Miss.
Sumlin doesn't beat anyone. I mean, I guess he beat Bama with, you know, Johnny Football, but I feel like that,
what was that, like 8 years ago?
I feel like that's the only big win that he's really got on his resume at A&M.
It's all he's got. It's really all he's got.
He's beaten LSU a couple times when they were relevant.
Sumlin?
I don't think he has.
Has he not beaten LSU before Chavis left?
Sumlin's like 0-for against LSU, I believe.
I don't think so, but we can go ahead and recheck that.
Yeah, I'll absolutely recheck.
Don't we have a stat guy? I think Kevin Sumlin's got a little bit better of a track record. I mean, you don't get calls from the NFL just for Johnny Manziel beating Bama twice, once?
I don't know. I kind of think he is.
I mean, they gave him a large buyout. Sounds like that pin's hitting. As well as, I mean, they brought in a fresh defensive coordinator for him, and he gets pretty much whatever recruit he wants, and then he fucks it up once they get on campus. I don't think Sumlin's seat is as hot as others in the
fucking
SEC.
Fucking scorching, bro. You don't think Sumlin's seat is? I don't think Bielema
I think it's fire at the end of the season, but, I mean, we're talking about 4 days from your so-called lock.
I'm just saying
Butch seems hotter, and Bielema going 1-3 seems kind of hot.
College coaches outside of Les Miles very rarely get fired in the middle of the season. So, like, me saying that someone's going to get fired by October, there's a lot of levity in that. I mean, okay. He should be.
It has to be another really bad loss.
And I can understand that.
He's gone after the next bad loss. And he's gone at the end of the year regardless, I think, because they're not going to beat Bama. They're not going to beat...
I don't think they can beat State. I don't think they haven't
played
anything
on
defense. State's in at Love Field.
All right. Well, Shea Patterson won there last year in his first start ever.
Yeah, and I think Nick resembles a lot of Shea. Like, he can throw and run when need be, but he runs a little too much sometimes. But I feel like they may be a little bit deplenished by that point, or at least wishfully thinking. I think State's offense matches well with Texas A&M's defense. So I do agree that they will lose a game or two. They probably shouldn't,
or they'll
be in the game and lose. But I don't think his seat's as hot as, like, Bielema's has got to be starting to heat up. You get skunked in Jerry World, or you don't get skunked. You get beat when you should have won in Jerry World. You lose to TCU as well. I mean, these are teams that are in your backyard that you're competing with in recruiting, and you're like 3-6 or however many fucking SEC games you play, 3-5. You're 3-6 on a regular basis or whatever it is in conference play. I mean, come on. I think Bielema's seat is hotter than someone's now that everyone's settled down and they won an SEC game and everything's starting to kind of materialize for Texas A&M.
I don't know, man. I think the difference there is the expectation. These A&M fans have unreal expectations. I don't feel Arkansas fans have that. I think Phil's that Burt's got another year. I don't think that they're calling for his head last year. I feel like it has to be it's going to be a gradual movement to get rid of Bielema. It's not just going to be like, okay, we got to cut this fucking guy. Unless he does something stupid, which, you know, he could do.
Burt's really good at, like, ruining people's seasons.
Yeah.
Allen's season looks like garbage also, though. He's ruined his own quarterback. I mean, the guy was, you know, proclaimed to be one of the top quarterbacks, not only in the conference, but, you know, one of the gunslingers in college football. And he's looked very mediocre at best, but so has Arkansas. Like, they've looked blue. Like, I'm not as worried about going to Little Rock or Fayetteville now knowing that they look like they do.
Well, you know, Bert, in the end of the day, if he gets fired or not, he's still got a hot hooker wife from Vegas.
Touche. Well, look, y'all want to talk about a couple games this weekend, or do y'all want to go straight into NFL? How do y'all want to do this? I'm going to let y'all dictate a little bit of the say here.
Let's
talk some weekend. Let's talk some weekend. I know you got somewhere to be, so we'll get out of here quick.
We can talk our lock of the week. We got time. I got time.
What's your lock of the week? Let me hear what you got for the bet you're not going to shy away from this weekend.
Man, we need to get some good music for this, like, lock of the week. Like, if we could get, like, the sound of a lock going, you know, something cool, some sort of lock noise. If there's a lock,
I was thinking, like,
like a jail cell.
Pink Floyd. I like Pink Floyd Money with the cash register.
Oh, yeah, Money. That'd be good. Just ding, 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 doom, doom.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Hey, BVD, add the music
can you
for.
Add that. Cha-ching! Just the cash register. Yeah. Cha-ching! Anyway.
Yes, sir.
So, this is my thing. I've been preaching Washington State's going to beat USC all year. I've been saying that. Thursday night game. This game's on a Friday. So I had so I got Wazoo written down as my lock of the week. However,
you can't back away from it.
Yeah, I know. But so I'm going to stick with that as my lock of the week. But I'm going to tell you why I was wavering, because there's another game out there that Nick Saban just made a lot more interesting. He couldn't find any bulletin board material from Ole Miss because we're not dumb enough to talk shit before we go play Alabama this week. So he told his team today that we think we have their number and we're telling everybody we got their number. He's just lying to these motherfuckers because we're not telling anybody that. And I just got a feeling like Vanderbilt's a better team than we are and they got blown out at home. Like Alabama's going to stomp a mud hole at Ole Miss this weekend.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think...
So I got two locks of the week. I'm sorry, I broke the rule. and I'm going to use them both. They are both fucking locks. Washington State is going to win outright at home against USC, and Alabama is going to beat Ole Miss, let me say, 52-9.
All right, that's fine. What's it called?
Touchdown and a safety for the rest.
So I do agree that, you know, those people that mocked... You know, they said Vandy would be relevant last week. They gave everyone that line at 19. It wavered at 18 and then moved back to 20 before game. Like, I think you didn't hop on Alabama, I know I did. I think Mark can attest as well as you gentlemen as well. It may not have been one of the five that I had, but it was one of the. It was on the card for the weekend, as a lot of folks know.
One of the only bets old Skip won this past weekend touché. Was on the Alabama.
Touche. So I do agree that Bama can beat them by 28. The problem, the only thing I see wrong with that is that Bama, when they have those large spreads, they seem to be content at 28 and then give up garbage points and win by like 24.
That's contingent on us scoring.
Yeah, I think Shea's good enough to score. I'm not going to sit here and knock too much on Ole Miss football. They're pretty strong when they
look.
When they
this
can
is
be,
this is the time. I would. This is the time to knock it.
Strong.
Baby. This is
just stick with your shot. Your shot of the week, and I'll go ahead and give you mine. Let's hear it, Skip. Let's fucking go.
God damn.
I'm really stoked about this.
I'm stoked, baby. So, I'm stoked about
it. I know you got Washington State plus 3.5. Is that what it was? 3.5, is that? Okay.
Yes, it is 3.5. Yes, I am going to take the points just because that'll give me more of my lockness to it.
Okay.
Like the monster.
I can back that.
Y'all get that?
Yeah.
Lockness monster. That was good. Anyway.
All right.
So, let's hear it, Skip. What you got?
Here we are. I'm going to go ahead and take Florida State -7 against Wake Forest.
I like that. I like that.
I looked at Vegas Insider all day, and I was like, I just need one for the lock of the week. And
just one.
If anybody wants to, you can look at the website, all of our five picks of the week that we continue to do between college football and NFL, where we compete with each other. That will be up there. But all of these Stone Cold Locks of the Week that we have here that we're broadcasting tonight.
You degenerates out there, for you just really like down-home fucking degenerate that likes points bonanzas like I do, there's an over on the board this week at 82.5, Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. I suggest you hammer it. They can't put it high enough, baby. They can't put it high enough.
All right, Phil, so I gave you mine. Pierce gave us three.
Well, don't take that last
Phil, one. Shut up, Pierce. God damn. Phil, what you got?
Well, I was unfortunately going to take the
I don't want to hear it.
The Florida State game as well, unfortunately.
That's kind
of that sucks, though, because, you know, I'll be fading that, of course, which is so far so good, ladies and gentlemen. In case you're keeping track at home, it's...
Hey, I think you need to find another lock of the week while we finish up. I don't think y'all should have the same lock of the week.
All right, so why don't I elaborate a little bit on why I think Florida State will be covering the 7-point spread.
But I'm going to have to change mine because of the fact that it's his.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be
so let's get, let's.
Yeah. So let me cover why I think that's going to happen. And we'll talk about just random shit in the meantime, like the Kardashians.
Okay. Here we go. Well, as pathetic as both these teams have been, Mississippi State +9, Auburn. I like that.
God damn it, Phil. I don't need your fucking anchor. The anchor! Anchor comes through again. What a dick.
Sir. Man, he's like,
you're such a dick. Phil, I know that you have some animosity built up against me and that you're expressing that through picking my fucking team, you goddamn anchor.
I love it. He's the fucking iceberg to the Titanic.
Dude, he is the cooler that is William H. Macy. For any of the gamblers in the real world out there that understand that reference, you get it? That is fucking Phil. Not Lesh Gray.
That anchor.
The anchor.
Just when you need something to drag you down, Phil knocks on the door.
No shit. So we're gonna. End it right now. I'm ending college football on that notion because he's a cocksucker. Let's go ahead and get out our picks for the NFL for the weekend. Let's talk a little bit about last week.
Y'all see the skits? Y'all see this?
Yeah. Everybody's team won. Whoa. Everyone on the podcast is happy. What do we say, boys?
Oh, God, I'm shocked.
I'm shocked, too.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Pierce's team's winning, I'd say in the fashion of how they won, would be the most impressive of any of the three.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Spank
it was, yeah, ass. It was really strong. And I know this podcast is going a little long as we go into the NFL, but y'all stick with us. We'll be doing well. That was a pretty impressive win, Pierce. Beating and shut them down, the whole offense. What do you
– We'll know more this week. Got the Chiefs on Monday night. We'll see if it was just a flash in a pan or if these guys are for real. I'm very skeptical still that – you know, the Raiders aren't very great traveling
home
east.
Sunday night games are really –
historically.
You said that last week, but I swear to God, if you play at night, then the traveling facet of being on the flight for whether you're flying from Oakland to L.A. or the difference of flying Oakland to Washington, if you're playing at night, it's not like you're waking up and playing at your 9 a.m. time. It's not like they're in London or they're playing the 11 a.m. game against the Jets. It's the – I say 11 a.m. because I'm in Denver. But, like, it does – that's not how it works. You know, like, it's not like they're waking up brutally early. They played a night game, so there shouldn't have been any repetition wrong. Y'all just straight out won.
Worked it.
So stop playing cool.
Worked it. Well, yeah, there's just not a lot of faith still in the Capitol. But that could change this week with a good performance in KC. I mean, I don't expect them to win, but let's not get blown out.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. Phil, let's go to your boys. Yeah, y'all went on the road as well. Yeah. Not as well. Y'all went on the road and won.
Pretty ugly, but impressive.
What was so ugly about it?
The sky was falling last Tuesday.
Pretty much Carolina's whole mentality.
Because that Saints D showed up.
That could be credited to your defense. I mean, that could have been credited to your defense.
No,
but
our defense
sucks,
but we did pick the ball up three times, which is like first time we've done that as long as I can remember. But
yeah.
No, I'm not gonna get ahead of myself. Like my walk of the week in the NFL would be
humble.
I know they're playing the Dolphins, but in historically speaking, coming off of a win like that, the Saints are gonna completely shit the bed the next game.
So you're saying to definitely start Jay Ajayi in fantasy, as well as Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry.
I'd even start Jay Cutler.
All right, that's fair. I like it.
Cutler.
When we're playing teams that are struggling, that have guys that have had rough fantasy seasons, whatever, they go off and look like studs. It's just, I've seen it.
They call that Mississippi State syndrome when you make freshmen look like All-Americans. Yeah, that's what we
call
think
that's everybody's syndrome. We have that same thing, but too. Backup quarterbacks come in and just have the game of their life against
me, did the backup quarterback came in and threw a touchdown the first pass against State's defense?
I don't really consider Fromm the backup. He's the man.
He was the backup.
He was, but he's been
– All right, okay, let's not talk about it. Sorry, I'll go for an hour and a half, but people will stop listening to us. I do want to congratulate both of y'all on your wins.
Yeah, you too, Skip.
I
didn't expect the Cowboys to win.
There it is.
Dakota was hurling it down the field, man. I tell you what, I didn't know that boy had such a laser rocket arm on him. Dakota Prescott's the best. Dakota for president.
The Cardinals kind of suck, though.
Anybody's better than the president we got, and the Cardinals do suck.
Don't they?
But let me tell you, I was sweating it those first let's say, 20 bad. Minutes of the game, it started bad. And I was like, man, we're fucked. Defense can't tackle. Offense can't move the ball. We're on the struggle bus.
They got it together. And,
yeah, they did. And I should have known better than to ever doubt Touchdown Jesus, the real Touchdown Jesus. Fuck you, Charlie Whitehurst, whatever your name was. Whitehead, whatever.
Whitehurst, yeah. I went to Clemson, bro. Yeah. My new fucking number one team in the country.
The new one is Dak Prescott, because that guy walks on water and can fly as well, as proven on Monday night. So, you know, not a big deal. Sorry, strike me
down. Not a big deal.
I'm pretty stoked, but I was worried about the Cowboys. Still think we can win the division. I love that we're competing with Philly instead of New York, because
I like that Phil and I were real humble about it, and Skip's just pounding his chest. Cowboys,
this is my podcast. I'm going to pound my chest every goddamn week.
I just love the you know, the difference in the confidence level. And then he has the gall to be like, oh, well, you know, I like that we're battling with the Eagles and not the Giants. They didn't mention the Redskins.
Y'all fucking picked the Giants. Both of you fuckers did.
Saying, you're ignoring a team that just destroyed most people's Super Bowl prediction. Yeah, the Giants are terrible.
He destroyed y'all's prediction.
Yeah, not most people.
Okay. I don't give a fuck about the talking.
I did learn something in my predictions: is you just don't ignore teams because you're tired of them. Even though I think ignoring the Patriots was a good move, but ignoring Alabama was a cardinal sin.
Yep, and I actually have a prop bet where I bet on the under of how many games Bama would win at 11.5.
Oh, man.
So I thought they would go 11-1. I think I spoke about that early on in the season. So that sucks. But anyways, yeah, so I make stupid bets all the time, but I also will admit when I'm wrong and won't jump on Clemson. So let's talk about the NFL. Oh, there it was. Yeah. You heard it. Let's talk about the NFL docket this weekend. Hopefully Phil's got it at least pulled up if he didn't do any research. There's a couple big games. I know he prefaced Miami. He's saying cover on the – it started as a pick 'em, and now the Saints are -3, according to Vegas Insiders. So elaborate, Phil, as to why you think the Saints are – not worthy of the pick. I mean, money's moving in their way, 60% both on the money line and the spread.
It's just one of those things where when, like, the Saints start off really bad and then they start winning a couple games, you're like, oh man, maybe this team could be good, you know, and they suck you back in, get your attention, get you all excited, and then they fucking crush your dreams again.
All right. That's fair. I wanted to jump into that.
The only reason I'd say to go against that little trend right there is because the game's not in the Superdome, because that's where they really, you know, make you hurt. So I wouldn't automatically, you know, go against the Saints, but no, we'll make Cutler look good for sure.
I do agree with you. Y'all are a different beast in the Dome. Pierce, if there was a game that kind of jumped out at you that you wanted to talk about that wasn't the Skins.
Why not? We could talk about the Skins.
No, we're definitely going to talk about the Skins.
But
that's Monday night game. That's Monday night.
Yeah, Skins, Chiefs, baby. Two of the best teams in the NFL battling out in front
of
the whole country.
Jump into it.
Let's talk about it. I'm kind of with Phil. I think a step back might be coming for the Skins this week. The defense looked really good last week. If they can keep it up, Kerrigan was a monster. But overall, I don't expect the secondary to be that good. And
7 points, though?
Seven points. I think that we can cover. I think they can cover that.
So they started at 9, and it's moved to 7. But at the same time, you got to think about more than just – I mean, not only does Kansas City do dump downs, but Washington's defense is more than just Kerrigan. I mean, they got Preston Smith over there that's averaging over a sack a game.
State kid?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I knew that.
But you also have a pretty – yeah, you should have, but he's also one that's very prominent in the numbers. So, yeah, I like Washington's defensive line, but with Kansas City, again, doing those dump downs, and then Kansas City also having Kareem Hunt.
Tyreek Hill. I mean, they got a lot of weapons.
Yeah, but those are all, like, short guys. You know, like, you know, and by short, I mean, like, small distance. They don't even have to air it out. Alex Smith looks like a goddamn all-star just by doing dumb passes.
He's looking pretty good so far. And that's Andy Reid is a very underrated coach. in my mind. I don't think people give Andy Reid enough credit because, you know, he's got a bunch of junkies.
You're going to put a gold jacket on that?
On Andy Reid?
52-size shoulder and 108-size stomach?
Well, it depends. Maybe if he gets a title, yeah, fuck yeah. If he gets a title, he's
He doesn't need it. I don't think he even needs a title.
He doesn't need it, but it would
I mean, how many years?
One.
I mean, there's no way any of us know this, but I mean, I wonder how many out of the years he's been coaching he's made the playoffs. Probably in the 80 percentile.
Probably a lot.
Yeah, but I don't think playoffs alone get you there. I mean, unless you're Marino, I don't think that alone gets you there. I think
longevity
had to
gets
win
you
his.
There sometimes. If you're just a long, if you're a coach that makes the playoffs consistently every year of your career, that's probably worth it. The Hall of Fame.
You got to break some fucking records in, like, games played in the playoffs. I don't think you just get it there for being chubby.
Or what about producing, you know, X amount of Hall of Fame players?
What? Like, losing in the NFC Championship game? Losing with Don McMahon? Not getting out of the divisional round as a Chief? I mean, he hasn't necessarily earned his bones more so than making the playoffs. I'm not going to put him in a gold jacket, but I do agree he's a great coach. He is a great coach.
Cut him a little slack for Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb didn't even know the rules of the game he was playing. So
I think a lot of people recognize he's done a lot with not that much.
Agreed.
And I agree with that. He is a good coach, but I'm not going to just
go ahead.
He
thought KC would
anoint him great.
I picked him to win the division.
Yeah. Well, I got him in the playoffs, I think. But, you know, the Raiders are going to win that division.
The Raiders coming back from the dead. Well, let's talk about the Raiders then. Anybody have any takes on what Oakland's going to do at Denver this weekend? I mean, it's in the backyard. Tickets are cheaper than the Cowboys tickets. Still not going. But it started as a pick 'em. Denver's now 2.5. Faith has been lost, apparently, in Oakland after Sunday night.
Simeon looked like a very, very bad. He looked very Cutler-ish last weekend, just throwing the dumbest picks you could ever imagine. He better forget about that real fast, or else it's going to be a loss at home for Denver.
Pierce, what do you think about Oakland?
What do I think about Oakland? I think Oakland's going to bounce back this week, show us the Super Bowl team that they are, and they're going to get a win on the road, man.
All right, so this is – I mean, I like that, and I'm going to follow Pierce on this one.
Ooh.
Denver's 2-0 at home. They're both 2-1 overall coming off a loss. Denver was at Buffalo or whatever. Didn't look sexy, but I think Simeon has never been that sexy guy. Nope. So I'm going to go ahead.
He was the first 2 weeks.
I'm going to take – yeah, he was sexy against – it's been proven that now that Dallas's defense is inept. The secondary is riddled with not only injuries, but now we are starting 4 fucking rookies in a fucking second year, as John Gruden so casually blew on Monday. But I think Oakland is better even in the face of adversity against a stronger defense than Denver's offense will be against just a top 10, not top tier defense. So I don't think Simeon can overcome the difference as is Carr can overcome the difference. And then beast mode does beast mode things. So I'm taking Oakland. And now that they're getting the points, it looks a little sexier. There's a couple other games I wanted to preface on before we kind of go into summation. Detroit comes off a stinger. And I know this was a hotly, disputed division when we discussed preseason. Detroit is at Minnesota. Minnesota is starting Case Keenum again. Detroit's coming off a bad beat, and I mean a literal bad beat. And the lines have been pulled because of the quarterback situation. What's going on? Who do we have? Does anybody have faith in Case Keenum?
No.
Case Keenum? I mean, dude.
He looked good last week, though.
He had a great week last week, but
looked great.
He's also had weeks where it looked like he doesn't even belong in the NFL.
Yeah, weeks where he looked like Case Keenum.
Touche. That's a Houston quarterback, Houston Texan.
And Detroit's a good team. I mean,
I think Detroit's defense proved their worth last week by having a couple picks. Slay had 2. I think Grover Quinn had 1, but they kind of came up literally a half yard short like the Rams in the Super Bowl. But Minnesota seems to be able to do well in spite of who their quarterback is. Like, Bridgewater went down last year. They went and got Bradford, who's been fucking... He wasn't sexy by any means, and now they have Case Keenum doing the exact same thing. It's just interesting, and seeing as somebody had Minnesota, Phil, had Minnesota as their pick for the year, and they're seemingly doing pretty pick well with a third string. Didn't you have them as the division winner?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're doing well with a third string quarterback, and then now you're playing against Pierce's wild card team and the top paid athlete in the sport. I found it an interesting game we talk about.
Stafford!
I'm taking Minnesota. I've bet against them twice and gotten burned both times. I'm going to take Stafford this week.
You say you know it's going to happen.
I know.
Back to normal. That's just how it works.
I know. Well, I was assuming that I would take them last time, but I'm doing it here this time.
You should just start flipping a coin.
You realize you said, I'm taking Minnesota, blah, 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 blah. I'm taking Stafford.
Oh, excuse me. I'm taking the Vikings. I understand that this is my first time to take them after losing multiple times. I'm taking Minnesota to beat Detroit. So we'll see how that goes. And then, of course, we're going to go in the last game of the weekend would be the only game that really matters, and that's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, gross.
Hey, it's two divisional leaders. Who had the Rams leading the NFL or the NFC West? Nobody. No. And now they have to come into Dallas. Is this a slam dunk? Should Dallas be able to find their groove at this point? Or is this Rams defense legit and Scott McVay is a strong play as a coordinate?
Aaron.
Coach.
Aaron Donald's going to teach Zeke a fucking lesson.
Ooh, that sounds like some confidence coming from Phil out of the Rams camp there.
It sounds like if you look on the website, Kip is going to end up having a take. It started at like 9 or 10, and now it's at 6. It sounds like Kip's going to take Dallas just to spite Phil this week.
Rub it in his face.
Yeah, right in his fucking face.
Oh, Aaron Donald, what? I think the Rams defense is good. But I have spite for the Cowboys, for, you know, Skins Allegiance, and I'm not a huge Dakota fan. It's pretty funny we made him crap his pants. But other than that, like, fuck the Cowboys. I don't care. Go Rams. Yeah. Go Rams!
All right, so it'll be two.
The Rams need to, like, drop that fucking gold from their uniforms, though, and just stick to the white and
the
blue.
The blue and white does look sharp. It looks great.
They would remove the gold from those jerseys. Well, they wore those all yellow ones, but I read something that they're not allowed to change their jerseys for another, like, 2 years.
That's got to be something about bullshit. The Nike jersey contract.
You can change everything else. They just can't change their jerseys. They can't remove the gold from the jerseys.
Yeah, I knew there had to be a reason.
Change the helmet, then. The helmet really – the blue and white looks great. Yeah. I couldn't agree more with what y'all both just said.
They just look a little off when they wear – It just looks a little off. It could almost be perfect, but it's just not perfect, and it really bothers me.
Once they open the new stadium, they'll be able to do, like, whatever.
Exactly. Well, let's quit talking about football.
All right. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. I know that we have places to be, but Louisville's fucked. The NCAA college basketball system is fucked.
Fucked.
All because of this one gentleman who happened to be a narc. For those that don't know very well, didn't want to read the 120-page subpoena or indictment, there was a financial advisor that was popped for security fraud. In return, he allowed a FBI agent to go undercover as a financial advisor and sit in or record in some facet conversations and negotiations between families, shoe and clothing organizations, and college institutions. The one that got most hung out to dry this week that are notable is your preseason ranked Arizona. You have Oklahoma State, who's always great. You have Auburn with Bruce Pearl. And then you have the heavy hammer, which was Louisville, caught on record with $100,000 soliciting a recruit and pretty much admitting that they're under probation and still doing it. So they have since fired their AD and their head coach. Oh my God, how fucked is everybody?
Ooh, man, it's a disaster. Also, USC got a coach fired. That was the funny thing. Louisville had no one arrested or nobody fired yesterday.
that it just, it was still in the document, like, hey, some public university from Kentucky with the exact enrollment of Louisville. And like Miami's mentioned in that too. Like if you keep going down, they mention a small private university in South Florida as well. So Miami's wrapped up in this. Who knows what the fuck they were doing.
As well as Alabama. So as we record this, Alabama has recently, Greg Byrne released a statement saying that he had a conversation with everybody involved in the basketball operations. And Kobe Jones or Kobe something of the sort.
Not was, Kobe Jones, but yeah, something.
No, Kobe Jones. It's like Kobe something was resigned as assistant coach to Avery Johnson at Alabama.
So something's up just, there.
Something's up in a lot of places. And I feel that, I mean, this is going to be a long segment, but I believe that Louisville is hitting the iceberg that everyone says we're just hitting the tip.
Yeah, Louisville.
That's the best metaphor I can come up
with. Well, this has all been around forever. Like, they just now decided they wanted to check this out, and they're like, holy shit, this is really fucking dirty. Like, they're already looking into Nike. Like, they're going to uncover some shit about Nike schools soon. And fucking Oklahoma State and Arizona are Nike schools, and Auburn's Under Armour, so it's not all about Adidas.
It hasn't always been like shoe, you know, companies, but y'all remember that movie Blue Chips? Like, this shit's been good. This shit's been going on forever. And you know what? Like, when the coaches say, I have no idea, you know, what's been going on, I truly believe that, actually. I mean, I know a lot of these coaches are pieces of shit, but, you know, they just say, go do what you need to do. I don't want to know anything. And, you know, they just...
Oh, yeah, plausible deniability. That's real, but you can't just keep using that. Like, when shit keeps happening, you can't just be like, well, I didn't know.
Well, of course not.
Fifth time I've used this one.
All right, Pierce, this obviously is on record, so I'm going to remind you of that. But I agree. Like, there's no way Patino could be the, oh, I didn't know about it, in fact, again. But the FBI is a whole different beast. And I don't think that this was... everybody knows this was always going on with the AAU coaches getting paid six figures and pipelines being run through these schools. But my theory is here, like, I mean, Patino, these guys, we're talking about not Patino, but these assistant coaches are talking about real fucking like
20
jail.
Years
like,
of jail.
Tell me in the ass, federal, yeah, like... You know, securities fraud was a big thing, and it wasn't like the FBI was like, oh, let's check out NCAA basketball. It was they pumped a financial advisor or something of the sort in a securities fraud scam of the sorts, and then he was able to be like, well, what if I flip on these other folks? And was like, oh, let me show you bushels of shit on the NCAA basketball programs. I feel that was more – that's how I read it. I didn't read it as the FBI willingly was like, oh, let me, you know, turn to page six and go to NCAA basketball. I don't think that's
how it went. Yeah, for sure. But, like, once they started unraveling all this shit, it's just a mess, man. And they're saying – and like, these coaches that were arrested, like, one guy turned himself in today, the Oklahoma State guy. Like, I think two of them have already said they're going to cooperate and just fucking burn it down. So they're about to start snitching, and then things are going to get really fucking crazy. Really crazy.
And I understand that they can only, you know, vouch for what they can prove. But, I mean, I'm going
to... Oh, they're going to sting, baby. They don't want to go to jail for 20 years. They're going to fucking sting.
I don't think it was 20, maximum. But, I mean, you know...
That's the maximum penalty for what is 20 years.
Yeah, that's not... They're not max offenders.
I know. Look, it's just saying that. That's what people say. When you quote shit, you assume the max initially. So
that's
fair. Don't fucking get me on that.
Chill the fuck out. That is fair. But what worries me is...
I'm quoting Jay Billis here. He's a fucking lawyer.
I'm worried about the stones that have not been overturned. And the reason that I sit here and I speak softly is because my head coach is Ben Howland, who was at UCLA and was fired after bringing in Westbrook, Love, all those boys, going to Final Four runs and not being enough for UCLA, mind you, a Adidas school. And then sat a year out, chilled in Santa Barbara, probably banged his wife a lot and smoked a lot of pot. Went on TV every now and then and got the job in Starkville, at which time he brought in Malik Newman.
That worked out.
Yeah, that worked out well. And so when Malik left, guess where Malik went? He went to Kansas.
Adidas.
So I have this sneaking suspicion that all of these pipelines run through a certain, like, guy. And I don't know any of this. I'm ignorant as shit, and I drink a lot, so I don't know anything that I say. I just say it anyway. But I feel that Malik is going to be what screws us over, because before that we had Rick Ray, who is brutally irrelevant. There was not a player that would want to come to State to play under him. The cupboard was bare. But at the same time, once Hallen got here, they started materializing really quickly, so it worries me.
It hasn't shown on the court. Like, he's brought in the players.
I understand, but again,
he has not turned.
Yeah,
I know. I get it. They're young.
Malik, after his freshman year, Witherspoon was hurt half of last year. Yeah, he didn't play well in Hallen's system. I'm doing air quotes here because I have a sneaking suspicion Adidas was like, hey, we can get you more money if you go to Kansas.
And, yeah. I mean,
that's what I feel happened, but they're not going to pin us to the wall because we've been very cooperative and other.
Well, y'all got the number 13 player in the country signed for next year. So how did he?
Hallen has a track record.
Yeah,
I mean, he has an ability to prove himself worthy. He has
reason. And I don't want to drag up the basketball program down because where else can we go?
It's not like we went up anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So like. You know, while there are going to be other programs, probably like y'all involved, and you might be involved a little bit, but it's really these big guys that are
going
to suffer.
Yeah, they're going for Arizona, USC.
Like, look, y'all, Louisville was on probation. They are on video. Their assistant coach is saying, hey, we got to be really careful funneling this 150K to y'all, talking to this 2019 recruit. He's like, we got to be careful because we're already on probation. That is why the NCAA created the death penalty. It's for repeat offenders. This is exactly what SMU did. Like, if they follow the letter of the law that they created, which they don't have to, but if they do, Louisville's not going to have basketball next year. They're just not. Or however long it takes to investigate, it's going to happen. And if that cloud hangs over them, they're fucked for 10 to 15 years. Like, they're fucked for a while.
No chance. I mean, every chance. Absolutely.
Well, okay, but that's the thing, too, is if they start digging into Nike, you telling me John Calipari isn't fucking doing this same shit? You know, like, this is pretty much what, like, it wasn't just the shoe company money. They were also steering guys to managers and shit like that. And that's what Marcus Camby went down for at UMass, was he took money from an agent with the promise that he'd sign with him. And then, you know, everybody knows what happened there. They went to the Final Four. Camby fucking bounced because he was about to get suspended from the NCAA. And then Calipari bounced. That's what he does, man. He stays ahead of it. So if Calipari leaves Kentucky, they better be fucking scared.
And so... That's a great.
Well, he was reaching out to the Knicks this summer, wasn't he?
Were they reaching out to him, or was he? I thought that he reached out to New Orleans as well, Phil.
I'm not so sure about that, but I'd definitely take him.
Yeah. Well, I may have misspoken and just listened to Clay Travis a little too much, so don't hold me to that. But yeah, I agree. Like, there's a lot of people that are going to be electrocuted by the shock and the water of this. But at the same time, the NCAA, and I told someone this earlier, they're going to have to do like a class action settlement where otherwise
they're fucked.
Like,
I don't know how they
– y'all are fucked. Like, your football team is fucked. That's cool. But they can't – they're going to try to fuck 98 basketball programs that have been funneling money. Dan Patrick even said that Eastern Illinois, where he went to school 20 years ago, there were the better guys on his team that received cars, albeit used cars. They still received cars. This is not a new thing where these kids get paid. But if there's a huge money trail, what happens for CBS and TBS and all of those clowns that are paying fortunes of money? And you're going to end up seeing Ole Miss versus Duquesne because they're the only three-star athletes that didn't pay
AK's
anybody.
About to bring in the fucking top-flight talent to the pavilion, baby. This is going to be great for Rebel basketball. I'm going to tell you that right now. Let's start beating that drum, baby. Yeah.
LSU basketball's looking pretty good as well with this new coach, Wade.
Oh, yeah, man. Y'all are going to turn it around.
Shut the fuck up. You had a number one overall pick, and you couldn't even get in the goddamn dance,
coach.
Phil.
You know who else is probably really
You stole the coach from Stanford, who went to like four times and went to the tournament. Y'all can ruin a wet
dream.
That's
what you do, man. You poach talent. You go get a fucking winner to turn your program around.
They couldn't even get Shaq on the dream team. They were fucking. Yeah.
Hey, man, look. I'll tell you who's another coach that should be really worried. And
they needed more white people.
And he's got Mississippi State connections. Yeah. Is your boy Rick Stansberry at Western Kentucky? He's been signing. He's been signing 5-star players at Western Kentucky for the last year and a half. I'm almost positive they're in Adidas school. He's probably completely fucked too. I don't know. I'm just going out on a limb with Stansberry here, but they're obviously doing something, pulling in.
They had some issues keeping their 5-star that they brought in this year that grabbed a lot of.
Yeah, he probably didn't qualify academically or something. I don't even know.
Whatever it was, the dude like quit the team, almost dropped out of school, didn't drop out of school, rejoined the team. It could easily be a case of speaking with the FBI. I don't fucking know, and I don't think anybody really does, but it was something we had to speak about. I do believe that State is soon to get knocked on the door for a nice little subpoena or indictment. At the same time, if they vacate wins, I mean, what? We have like 6 of them over the last 4 years. I can't really be that mad.
I hear you, Skip.
So... yeah, if we get this year to compete with some guys that can play, more power to it. But I'm not going to hold my hat or hold my breath on any – I just feel that everyone's fucked. Everyone except for Ole Miss, because y'all have proven that even when everyone else is down, y'all aren't good. Y'all have proven y'all are not cheating. Yeah, when everybody else is down, y'all still suck, and that is – prove that you're not cheating.
We got a new arena. You seen that new arena, Skip? It is a fuck. Oh man,
you got Chick-fil-A on Sundays.
We have Canes and a shake, Steak and Shake in there.
I kind of back the Canes.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty dope. So you can go and get a Steak and Shake burger and then take it back to your seat and watch the Rebs stomp a hole in Morehead State or whoever they play.
Touche, touche. Well, I want to thank everybody for putting up with us. I know we went a little long this evening, but there was a lot to talk about. State sucks at football. The world sucks in NFL. And basketball seems to be crumbling before our eyes. So I do appreciate it. As I mentioned earlier, please don't be shy to go subscribe, rate, and review.
And leave some offensive shit for us to read about your friends. I noticed nobody took us up on that offer yet. So, like, hey, put anything in there. Just give us 5 fucking stars. That's all we ask. Write whatever you want in the review, but give us a review. We're nice guys.
Yeah. Pierce is nice if he doesn't put duct tape over
here. I'm so nice. I'm keyed up right now, Skip.
Phil, what you thinking? You want to say anything to the listeners before we close out?
Have a great week.
This will be good. Get your popcorn ready. Have a great week. Oh man, I was
ready. I was halfway at my earphones off. I was on my way out the door.
Oh, okay. He's already checked out. Boys.
We are checked out as well. So again, thank y'all for listening. Listen to us. Look for us next Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll record if anything happens in NCAA that's relevant. And we'll, of course, talk football as always and gambling picks. Don't forget to look at hashsports.com for everyone's picks of the weeks, as well as don't be shy to leave Pierce a message.
Single me out. I don't care. Like, talk some shit to me. Y'all got a problem with me? Let's hear it. Let's talk about it. I'll hash it out. Let's do it.
Hash it out, Pierce. Hash it out. Phil?
Or you could say something nice about him.
Yeah,
shut
if you want to do
that. Shut the fuck up,
too.
Phil. God damn it.
I do, like... Hey, we didn't do picking on – well, we kind of picked on Phil. We can take a week off.
Every episode is picked.
But, hey, listeners, y'all are great. I love you. You're still listening to us.
Yep, point. Here we are, 80 minutes.
It's a long app. It's a long app. We got it. We got to go.
Peace. See y'all next week. Thanks again.
Bye.